just knowing him. Philippians 3, 8 through 10. A few days ago, we celebrated Independence Day.
All right, man.
Independence Day is this day in which we here in America think of the many freedoms that we enjoy. When you think about it, we are people like nowhere else. You have the freedom to vote and elect who represent you in the political world. You have the freedom to carry a gun. You have the freedom to choose a career. You have a freedom to even choose who you date. Why am I talking to my baby now? Even though you have the right, the choice, and the freedom to date whom you please, my prayer is that when you select that person to be in a relationship with, that you'll see God before.
Amen. Amen.
It's a bit strange to get in something and then say, Lord, get me out. Oh, the price we pay. Somewhere along the line, we've gone astray. We've gone astray in that what we love, what we desire, dating, we've somehow reached the conclusion that's biblical. Dating is not biblical. Dating is when you go and you get this person and you go out to eat and you have a wonderful time, and at the end of the night, end of the day, sometimes people begin to expect things.
All right.
I took you somewhere fancy. I took you to Applebee's. So if I took you to Applebee's, we got 2 for $20. Oh, certainly I can expect something. So that's the night progress, and Luther's music show up. How do you know that song, Chuck? So the night goes on.
Yes, yes.
Luther appears.
Yep.
You find yourself in a situation in which you certainly know that's not biblical.
Amen.
When you find yourself there, you've lost something that is most precious to you. So today we kind of take dating as though we can date and we can test the product. Kind of taste the milk. Don't have to purchase the cow.
All right, man.
Just want to sample. Just want to know.
Yeah.
Just a little something, something. Just one time. We don't have to do it again.
All right, now.
I won't even go all the way.
All right, now.
And you discover that you lost control. In biblical days, the process was so different. In biblical days, mom and dad of the bride-to-be, mom and dad of the groom-to-be, they worked out this agreement. And chances are the agreement was made when Charles was only 3.
All right now.
Chantel was 2.
All right now.
Just couldn't wait to turn 18.
Have mercy. All right now.
To go to Applebee's. So the parents come together. They sign agreements. When they signed the agreement, it was bonding. And the agreement would stipulate Charles could have Chantel, but his father had to give up 3 goats, 4 cows, and 1 horse.
All right, now.
Wasn't that the father was paying? It was just, that was the tradition.
Yeah.
And so once that agreement is made, it begins a process or period called a betrothal period. It's a 12-month period after the agreement is made. Once the agreement is made, then Charles goes back home and Charles builds a house. Chantel, she goes back to her parents. And she makes pots and blankets and all of the stuff for the house. Mm-hmm. Notice Charles still have not kissed Chantel.
All right, now.
They haven't gone to the movies together.
All right.
They haven't even walked through the park.
Holding
hands. Holding hands. No.
That's right. That's right.
The truth of the matter is, Charles really don't like Chantel. He likes his next door neighbor. But the agreement, Charles. But the agreement. Boy, you don't go. She gonna jump over and fail me this year. But the agreement has already been signed. And so they spend these next 12 months, the broader period, separated.
Yes, yes.
No phone calls.
That's right.
No texting.
All right, man.
No sexing.
All right,
man. Y'all don't know what that is. Okay. Fine, holy folks. And so after 12 months, they come back together. When they come back together, they stand before the priest, and they get married. Charles is a virgin. Chantel is a virgin. So these two come together. When they come together, they get married. They then enter the house or tent. They have relation. You're never talking about sex. They have sex the night that they got married.
All right, now.
The next morning, Charles comes out. Charles presents the sheets.
All right, now.
To Chantel's father.
All right, now.
This is public.
Yes, it is.
So all of you get to see this. I'm going somewhere.
Yes. Right.
All of you get to see this.
Then you'll know.
Did I tell you that Charles was a virgin?
Yes.
I mentioned that.
Yes.
Also told you Chantel was a virgin, right?
All right.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
You did.
You got it.
All right now.
So the next morning, they present the sheets. And
yes, Lord.
When they present the sheets, if Charles' father presents the sheets the next morning,
all right now,
they should look like this.
All right.
We call it today bursting a cherry.
All right now.
I told y'all where I'm going before I started.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
That's
all
right.
I'm right here.
That's all right.
I'm right here.
That's all right.
I'm right here.
Amen.
And so if this happens, it means Chantel has never had sex.
All right now. That's right.
She bleeds.
Yes.
Notice everything that God does always involves blood.
All right now.
This ketchup, by the way.
All right now.
And so this is what we should see.
All right now.
Let's assume for a second.
Oh,
the hot tail Chantel. And all around, up and down. I'm just kidding, y'all. And so the sheets are presented, and they are snow white. As a result, Chantel is either stoned to death,
that's right,
or they just kick her and her family out of town.
Yes.
Because she becomes an embarrassment to her family.
Yes.
That's the way they used to do it.
All right now.
But today we date and we call it biblical. We go in and we test it and we have sex and we say, I like that one and I don't like that one, and everything is all confusing. And the relationship doesn't work out. So then Chantel goes over and she finds Ricky Green, but Ricky Green now has to get damaged goods from over there.
All right now.
And so we're now living in a society that is all confusing, but we are educated so we know how to date. Then explain the 50% divorce rate.
Yeah.
Explain the 63.5% divorce rate among church folk. But we know how to date. We know how to pick them. We know how to choose them. See, when we sit down and allow God to go to work, God does amazing things at matching people. Now, that has no guarantees that it will work, because God can put you with someone and that person walk away from God. There's nothing you can do about that. You remember the story in the Bible? A young man in the Bible, he says, God, why do you keep sending me to the same person?
Right now.
He go, he take her, he bring her back, she cheat again.
Yeah.
Hosea said, go there.
What you say?
I took him back one time.
How good?
You cheat again? All right, fine. Go get her again. Two times, she still cheats. Three times, she still cheats. And God says to him, go back and get her.
Every time, go and get her.
Excuse me, God. She cheated on me one time. You say, go get her. Two times, go get her. Now, this is the third time, and you want me to go back again? He says, yeah.
That's that hat right there.
Maybe God was thinking, count the number of times that you cheated on me. A letter to the church at Philippi.
Yes.
He writes the letter and he says to them, you view me as a spiritual giant. Uh-huh. I've accomplished a lot in life.
Uh-huh.
But all that I have accomplished equals to animal waste.
Uh-huh.
It means absolutely nothing in comparison to me winning Christ.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship and God began to call you into a place and your spouse is not willing to go, here comes trouble.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says that you have to be equally yoked.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what difference does it make? She's fine. I'm worried about all the rest of that stuff. She has a good job. I'm not worried about all that other stuff. And the thing that you think doesn't matter, being equally yoked, is the same thing that comes back and gets you.
All right now.
Paul writes the letter and he says, everything that I've achieved means absolutely nothing because I want to win with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, because I want to win with Christ, he then tells them in verse number 10, he says, that I may know him.
Yes.
Now the word know, he deals with intimacy.
Yes.
In other words, in order for me to know God, I have to be in a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You can date a person and still not know him.
Right.
Because when you date, I'm only going to show you what I want you to see. And I only have to do it on Fridays and Saturdays and Sunday in church. That's real easy. I can be real holy. But catch me on a Monday night or catch me on a Wednesday when things are not going right, and that's when you see the real person. And so what God is saying is that in order for you to choose someone, you first have to seek him and say, God, I want to have an intimate relationship with that person. I want to know them, not physically, but on a spiritual level.
Yes, yes.
And so Paul says that I may know him and his power. And he says, not only do I want to know him, want to be intimate with him, he says, I also need to hang around enough with God that I can know him through the fellowship of his suffering.
Yes.
In other words, what he's saying is that my identity will come to light based off who I am in suffering.
Yes.
You don't get to know a person when the sun is shining. See, Paul says, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to go through something. As a result of you going through something with a person, that's when the bond comes together. That's when you see who you're really dealing with. You don't know who you're dealing with as long as things are going well. You don't know who you're dealing with as long as you don't need anything. Mess around and need something and need it for 2 or 3 days straight. Then you'll see what you're really dealing with. As a result of the intimacy, he says, my identity, who I am, begins to surface. And so he says, now I want to know God, but in order for me to know God, I have to have a relationship with God. When I'm in a relationship with God, then I get to discover who I am.
Yeah.
It's not always the person you're dating. Sometimes it's who you are.
Yeah.
It's not always leaving the towel on the floor. Sometimes it's your funky attitude.
Yeah.
Him. He says, in order for me to know him, I got to go through something. I got to suffer. And when I begin to suffer with this person, then we come together. Then we become on one accord, in agreement. It's hard to go through something with someone without that relationship sealing. And so what he's saying is that when you begin to go through something and you got somebody that's standing by your side, then you get to see the person, their strength and their weakness. And where they are weak, I guarantee you God has given you strength there, and vice versa. See, God is a covering God. When God calls two people in a relationship, God never calls two people who are the same.
All right.
Yeah,
now listen.
Yeah,
him. It's when you begin to spend time with him. You see, he says, I don't need you to date me. I need to have an intimate relationship with you. When you're in an intimate relationship with the person, you begin to seal things. You begin to even see things. And I see where you're weak. But that's all right, girl. I got you covered. And dude, I know you fall short. But that's all right. You my guy. You my dude. I got you covered. And so where I'm weak, you strong. We got one another. And then the two become one. And then the two become one.
Alright.
And that's it. Because I've been living my entire life to get out of school, go to college, get a job, a good job, and get married. Certainly, I'll be happy then.
All right.
So you got it all. You got it all. And the elusive joy never shows up. But I thought when I graduate and get my degree and get my job, I'll be happy. What you discover is that you got it all, but you left him out. The Bible declares the joy of the Lord is the strength. In other words, no one can give you the security in which only God can give you. Sometimes we think being married or being in a relationship, everything is taken care of. But you need to understand about you is that there's one part of you, a third in you, that God is saying, that's mine. You can put sex in it, it still won't be enough. You can put liquor in it, it still won't be enough. You can put rock and roll and rap in it too, and it still won't be enough. God is saying, there's a place that I have reserved, and unless you allow my spirit in and you begin to worship me and spirit in the truth, you will never experience true joy. Now, I'm not talking about happiness, because I told you before, happiness is predicated on something happening. And if ain't nothing happening, you can't be happy. But the joy that I have, if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. I got Jesus, I got joy all down in my soul. The bill may be past due, but I still got joy. And that's why we understand. In the midst of going through something, with God, and then that intimacy moved me to identify who I am. I'm going through something, but God says, in the midst of your trouble, I want you to take a little break. We call it intermission.
Yes.
Intermission is something that happens between things. Between when God shows you and tells you something and he really manifests it. Between when I'm waiting on God to come because he told me he would, but I still haven't seen it. Between me saying and claiming by his stripes I'm healed, but cancer is still in your breast. Between the time when you pray and say, God, I want to be debt free, but the phone is still ringing. The intermission, that's the praise break. That's when you say, it's not here yet, but I'm going to praise him right here, right now, just because I know it's on the way. I'm going to praise him right here because I know what he told me. I'm going to take a break from my troubles. Now, if you don't know God, you can't really
up. Why do you show up in your mess? Have you ever tried God? Everything is wrong. And God says, oh, baby, I got this thing. God will show up in your mess. In the midst of going through something. He says, just give me just a little praise. Just a little praise. Watch this.
Thank you, Lord.
There will come a day when you have to prove who you are. There will come a day when you claim healing, but cancer is still there. There will come a day when you begin to pray for your child to return home, and he's getting worse in the world. But do you still trust him? Do you still trust him? Paul says, before the storm came, I knew him. He says, that I may know him. Everything that you go through in life is to make you more like God. Anything to do with you. You remember when your bank account was fat? You remember that? And you say, Lord, use me. I'm just a willing vessel.
There it is, right there.
Lord, have your way with me. And he says, okay. Your faith is strong today. You got your health and you got a little money, you got your job. You can take it today. And then like Job, he began to pour one thing after another and after another. And the cousin that you used to can depend on, all of a sudden they're not there. And the job you used to depend on, all of a sudden you got a pink slip. And the thing that you used to can rest assured will be there. And everything is gone, Job, in your life. And now here come God and say, can I still have my way? Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My count is low, but yet will I trust him. What I know about him is that he shall supply all of my needs. Even though sickness is still in my body, what I know about him is that he said, by his stripes, I'm healed. But I know. I know. Paul says that I may know him. And the power. Listen, the power of God is the same authority that he transferred to you and I in Genesis 1:26. When he says about mankind that you should have dominion or authority over everything, listen, you better begin to talk to the devils in your life. When Satan comes against you, you better open your mouth. That's why I'm trying to get us to move beyond. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. So come on and open your mouth and praise him. When you open your mouth and praise him, that's when you release the illusion. When you open your mouth and praise him, that's when God shows up. When you open your mouth and praise, that's when your words become spirit. And that spirit, the anointed spirit of God, at Philippi. But he says, I'm writing you the letter, but I'm not talking to you right now. You get it? He wrote the letter to someone. Got caught up in the spirit. Stop talking to them and start saying that I may know him. He says, in essence, you may not get it, but I know who he is. Do you know Jesus? Does he live in your heart, in the midst of your troubles, when the church doors close? Can you run into your secret closet and just drop down on your knees and say, Lord, have your way. I don't need living. I don't need a preacher. Don't need a church building. All I need is my secret closet. If I can just find my way into his presence, I understand in his presence there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. He says that I may know. His resurrection. He says, now I know it, but I also know why the cross couldn't hold it. He says, I understand the power, and the same power that Jesus has is the same power he transferred to you. I said he transferred to you. That's why he says, why you look gazing? He says, the same way that I go up, I'm coming back again. You looking hopeless and helpless because of your situation. And he says, no, baby, you got the power. If you take what you have inside of you, if you realize that greater is he that is in me than this stuff that I'm going through, then I can get a praise break. Then I can praise him in my trouble, because I know my troubles don't last always. I know I'm coming out of this day. I know I'm coming through this day. That I may know him. And the power of the resurrection. He says, I want to know him. For me to know him, he says, I gotta know him through the fellowship of suffering. Listen, when you go through hard times, you need to rejoice. It is when you're going through hard times, God says, now you know me. Through the fellowship of the suffering. He says, you know me. Some things mom and dad can tell you. Some things I need to know for myself. On that day, you can't go to heaven for me. I gotta know him for myself. When I pick up the phone and call you, because my funds are low and I need help, and I've already called you, and you use your caller ID and you don't answer the second time, I need to know him for myself. When you know him for yourself, I'm going through. But I can stand. I can stand on his word. It's dark right now in somebody's life. It's confusing in somebody's life. But you can stand on his word. He says his word will never return void. That is empty. That is without doing what you told the word. Let me say this in closing. Doing what you told the word to do. When you speak words, your spirit.
Yes. Right.
When your word becomes spirit, they attach to the angels that has been assigned to you.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
An angel has no mind of his own. Angels doesn't think. I know I'm in church. Listen to me. An angel does not think. The angels that are assigned to you, when you speak, they go. You command them. That's why when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he says, I could have called the angels, but the angels couldn't come until he called them. When you're going through something, never, ever, ever think that you're all alone. Even if you don't have someone there with you, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, is right there. The Comforter is right there with you. And when you speak, the angels are dispatched. They come because you command them. Listen to your power. You have the power to command angels.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Every one of us have angels assigned to you.
Thank you, Lord.
When you say go do, they go do.
Hallelujah.
If you feel like you have no power, it's because you're not opening your mouth.
Thank you, Lord God.
You are not opening your mouth. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Thank you, Lord.
You speak to your situation.
Thank you, Lord.
You tell God what you want from him. Daddy, I don't even have time to dress up to pray.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not going to even sound cute, God, when I pray.
Thank you, Lord.
But God says, but thou knowest.
Yes.
I'm glad I don't have to fix the prayers.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray to him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just tell him your troubles.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just tell him.
Thank you, God.
What's on your mind?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you stand with me this morning in closing.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I want to minister to that person here that is going through something.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. I want to minister to that person.
Thank you, Lord God.
That person this morning that you feel like you're in a helpless situation.
Thank you, Lord God.
I want you to know that you have the power to change your situation right now. If you begin to speak, release in the atmosphere, you can change your situation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And to that person here this morning,
thank you, Lord,
that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Or to that person here, that you need a church home. I want to speak to you this morning. I want to symbolically open the doors of the church, but more importantly, I want you to open your heart and say, God, here I am. Here I am. If that's you and you feel empty, everything is lined up. College, career, everything. And you still lonely. You still are afraid. Try Jesus once. Try Jesus. Just try it. Just try it. Here, God, here I am. In this position in which I appear to be weak by humbling myself to you, I become the strongest. If you're here this morning, you need a church home. You're here this morning. You need to give your life to Christ. We invite you to come. Salvation, or maybe you are. You simply need a church home. If God is touching your heart, we invite you to come. No man knows the hour. One day death would knock on your door.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.